Welcome to the Simple Gospel Church podcast, raising a generation that will stand for Christ.
Let us pray. Father and our God, we thank you for today. We magnify your holy name. Thank you for all that you've done. We know that you're here with us. We say, may your name be praised in Jesus' name. Father, as we go into your word this morning, we pray that you speak to us yourself in Jesus' mighty name of prayer. Amen. Welcome to today's service. As you can see on your screen, it's a Thanksgiving service. And has been faithful to us. And he has encouraged us this morning to continue to thank. I think it's also Mother's Day, as far as I know, right? I hope you've told your mother Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to the old mothers, the new mothers, and the future mothers. Mothers in waiting. Exactly. Happy Mother's Day to you all. Amen. Please give me that mic. Today we're going to be looking at something very simple and short because of the nature of today's service. But just because it's short does not mean that do something to change your life. And it's in the Bible reading that we just read. So let's open our Bibles once again to the book of Luke chapter 57. Luke chapter 9 rather, from verse 57 to 62. Luke 9 from verse 57 to 62. It says, now it happened as they journeyed on the road that somebody said to him, Lord, I will follow thee wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me go and bury my Father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. And Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So if you read other accounts of scripture, that's other accounts in the gospel, whether Matthew or Mark, you see some of these incidents repeated, but they are not put together like this in the way Luke puts them together. And I think it's very interesting because these three examples we are giving are for people that, if you want to use the modern terms, they applied for discipleship and they got a rejection letter. Abby? That's what happened. They got a rejection letter in a sense. It's not as if Jesus rejected them. But you know, if you go to apply for any position in life or anything in life, they'll give you terms and conditions. Right? You'll be told, okay, these are the things, this is the way our company works, so these are the things we do. After you've passed the interview, you still have to adhere to. So go and read the contract very well. So that if we say on Friday, we wear palm slippers and short knicker. And on Friday, you come to the office and you are dressed in jeans and t-shirt and even wear suits. They'll say, what's wrong with you? Our company policy is what? Palm slippers and what? And short knicker. If you don't want to work here, don't work here. Right? And so Jesus did not reject them in the context of he doesn't want them to follow him. But the terms and conditions of following him were the things that they could not abide by. And everybody here, you might say you're a Christian, and I can agree with you. But as we walk with God, we'll find that these terms and conditions do not really change. God still expects us to adhere to them. And they are the things that affect almost every area of our life, including our Thanksgiving. Right? Today we've experienced a short service. We started by 10. And in 1 hour, God has been gracious enough because of his mercy to speak to us, to encourage us, and to even have us create a space where we can just worship him and open our hearts to him and thank him. What happened today should be our daily life, right? Thanksgiving service is not the only time to thank God, right? We should be thanking God all the time. We do not need to struggle to create what some people say, let's be in the mood of worship. Worship is not a mood, right? It's the lifestyle. But you see, as we move in our lives, some things always get in the way. And those things that get in the way are the things that prevent some people who are not even with Jesus from coming to him in the first place, like these ones. And those things will continue to attack our lives and our senses. And there might be things that you might not like to hear. Because if you look through all the things that Jesus said here, some of them, to the human ear, they are not nice. But they are still truth. And so I want to talk to you about three things that can affect your Thanksgiving. Just three things. It can affect your discipleship too, your walk with God. But because it's a Thanksgiving service, I want to talk to you about it today. Let's start from verse 57 again. For the first person. It says, now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. This one, he came for the interview without invitation. Right? Because he's the one that came to meet Jesus. But Jesus did not say, did I say you should follow me? He said, no. Jesus simply told him something. He said, and Jesus said to him, foxes have what? Holes. And birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And if you read other versions, it tells you that the man basically what? He went away. For us to be able to follow Jesus, and for us to be able to thank him, we have to give up what I call our security. Our what? Our security. Our security is anything that we depend on outside of him. And the truth is, if we have security in anything outside of Jesus Christ, then it will be difficult for us to be truly thankful to him when he does something for us. I remember long ago, and mommy told us this story. She read it in the newspaper, right? Or in a magazine, an interview with late Chief Bolaige's daughter, right? In the Guardian. You know Chief Bolaige? Am I that old? Who doesn't know Chief Bolaige here? Okay, we all know him. Chief Bolaige, you don't know him. You're young. Anyway, Atanjara of Nigeria, very popular, very influential. He died. I remember when he died. I was young then. I remember he was killed. It was a big deal. Even as small as I was, every time you put on the TV, that's what you'd be saying. We talked about it for a very long time. And obviously, this man, with the influence he had, was a wealthy man, right? And so in this interview with his daughter, it's something that I heard, but I would not forget him. And the girl said that before her father died, she never really used to pray. That even when she goes to God and she prays, there's a voice at the back of her head that tells her, if God does not do it, my daddy will what? He will do it. If daddy does not do it, mommy will what? He will do it. And so, for the first time in her life, her whole security was what? It's taken away from her. And that was when she now started to really see Jesus. You know, sometimes we go to God in prayer and we're not really praying to God. Like deep inside us, we already have the solution. But we go to him and we act like we are really believing him for that thing. But we've already mapped out the corner that we used to get that thing. And so you might come out. I'm not saying though, your testimony today, I'm not saying don't come out though. But you might come out and give testimony with your lips, right? But God is the one that sees your heart. Because the truth is, a true heart of thanksgiving is a heart that has given up all their security and has given it to God. You don't have anything to fall back on. You don't have a plan B. A Christian is someone that jumps headfirst into God without any parachutes, without any rope that is tying them, without any just in case this one does not work. Right? And that's what Jesus said to him. He said, well, foxes have what? Holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Is Jesus saying that he doesn't have a place to sleep? No, that's not what he's saying. Because Jesus, they slept now. They rented a house in Capernaum. The Bible tells us they will go and they will rest, they will sleep. That's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is telling him that I have no security in this world. If you're going to follow me, anything can work. can happen to you. And it still remains true today. You have to be able to trust Him wholeheartedly and put all your security in Him. Not in anybody else, not in an uncle, not in an auntie, not in father, not in mother, but in Jesus. And when you do that, you find that when He does something for you, you'll be truly grateful. In Simon's house, also in the book of Luke, the Bible says that Simon, he was a teacher, he was a Pharisee, and he invited Jesus to his house for a meal. And when he invited Jesus, the Bible says that the woman that was forgiven and seven demons were casted out of her. And she came to him, and what did she do? She started to weep and wash his feet with her hair and her tears and anointed him with oil. And in other accounts, you know that's Mary, right? And as Mary was doing that in the house of Simon, the Bible says that Simon looked at her with what? With scorn, like, why are you embarrassing yourself here? And the Bible says that Jesus saw his heart. And the Bible says Jesus addressed Simon, and Simon said, "Teacher." He didn't say Lord. Simon saw Jesus as an equal, right? Because Simon himself was a teacher of the law. So Simon saw Jesus as, okay, a teacher just like me. He might be teaching something different, but what? I gave him this place of honor because we can exchange ideas. So Simon could not understand why this woman was doing this, because Simon did not regard Jesus as Lord. And Jesus used the parable to defeat Simon and says, if someone owes 50 denarii and 5,000 denarii, and they are both forgiven, who will be more grateful? And he says the one that was forgiven the 5,000 more. And Jesus said, to whom is forgiven much, the person also loves what? Loves much. But to whom is forgiven little, the person loves little. Jesus is not saying that there is such a thing as little forgiveness. What Jesus is saying is that if the state of your heart does not regard what Jesus has done for you as great, you can never love Him greatly. You know what He's saying? He's saying this woman actually knows the value of what I have done for her. And that's why she's doing this. You don't know the value of what I have done for you. If you know it's you two, you'll be on the floor with her, doing what she's doing. And for many of us, in our hearts, we are not on the floor when it comes to Jesus. We might call Him Lord with our mouths, but there's a part of us that is standing shoulder to shoulder with Him. Because we still have our security in something else. If it doesn't work, if this church thing does not work, something else will what? Will work. So that's the first thing. He takes your security. So let's continue reading. And then he said to another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And then Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But you go and preach the kingdom of God." If I tell you what this means, let me just explain the scripture. These two deads not mean the same thing, right? This dead is talking about those who are spiritually dead. This dead is talking about the person that has physically died. So he's saying, let those who are spiritually dead bury the person that has died. You go and preach the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God is where life is. That's the literal meaning of this text. But what is Jesus actually warning us about in terms of discipleship? He's warning us against what I call sentimentality. Sentiment. What is sentiment? Sentiment is a feeling of tenderness and affection towards something that now makes you make a decision about that. On the surface, is it a bad thing for this man to go and bury his father? No. So it might sound like Jesus is being harsh, but he's not being harsh. What Jesus is trying to make him recognize is that if he goes to that home, he's not coming back. That when it comes to the things of God, there's a promptness to it that does not give you the luxury of being emotional. Of being emotional. Because once you let those sentiments affect the decision that you want to make for God, you won't do that thing anymore. If this man went to bury his father, they were going to dock him in the house. There would always be something to what? To do. And Jesus said, no, leave them to do that. You what? Follow me. There are some very, very, if you go through the Bible, you see that there are some really harsh things that happened to those who we call the heroes of faith. Those who we call the people that we look up to and we say, oh yes, these people are the ones that we're looking at and reading their stories today as examples. If you read some of the things that they did, if they consider their feelings, they will not do those things. Do you think it was comfortable for Abraham to just leave his house? No. Do you think it was comfortable for Moses to keep coming before Pharaoh, keep coming before him? No. Do you think it was easy for Joseph? No. But the thing is that when our affection is not towards God and Christ, when we do not truly love him, when our sentiments are not towards him and to something else in our lives, it will be difficult for us to really, really follow him. So Jesus will attack your area of sentiment. A lot of us have different areas of sentiment. For some people, it's people. It might be a family member. It might be friends. It might be possessions. Things that, you know, we say that we have sentimental attachments to some things, right? That's English. What does sentimental attachments really mean? It means that the reason you're attached to that thing does not have any logic to it, but you just have feelings of affection towards that thing. And any feelings of affection that you have towards anything that is outside of Jesus will eventually stop you from coming to him. It will eventually stop you from fully surrendering to him. And so Jesus will take away your sentimentality. And it might look mean on the surface, like it looks rough here. It's like, why is Jesus? It's not that deep now. It's that deep. It's not that serious now. It's that serious. Anybody who wants to go deeper with God and really wants to fellowship with God, anybody who wants to know God and have God speak to his ear or here, and you'll be able to recognize and hear God clearly. Anybody wants to have a relationship with God where he can fellowship with God and know with assurance that, yes, it is God that is speaking to me, must do away with sentiment. Have you read your Bible? Not everything God says is nice, but it's always good. Good and nice are not the same thing. You realize that God actually told Abraham that his descendants will go into slavery for 400 years in a foreign land. He told him. He told him. When Isaiah came to Hezekiah and told Hezekiah that, well, your time is up. Pack your load. Put your house in order. God is calling you home. And the Bible says, Isaiah was leaving the temple, and Hezekiah prayed to God. He rent his clothes and went to God and started to remind God of all the things that he has done and his faithfulness. And basically, he began to intercede for his own life. And the Bible said, okay, before Isaiah got to the gate of the palace, God told Isaiah, okay, go back and tell him that I've added 15 years to his life. If it's somebody else, what they start doing at that point is they start what? They start wailing and they start crying. Start saying, God, it's not fair now. And you call yourself a just God. That doesn't solve the problem. That's what? That's sentimentality. And God does not respond to emotional reactions. What God really responds to is our faith. And if you are walking with God in faith, you have to take some drastic decisions like Jesus is asking this man to. Leave your father. Come and what? Come and follow him. It's a very stark decision that looks very mean on the surface, but it's a reflection of what the Christian life really is. And after that, 15 years were added to Hezekiah's life, and Isaiah prophesied to Hezekiah that, okay, somewhere down the line, your descendants will be taken into captivity in Babylon. And it happened. Daniel is a descendant of Hezekiah. God is always good, but this world is up and down. It is not always nice. But when you take away sentimentality, it will be easy for you to really thank God. It will be easy for you to thank God. Because you'll be able to see God for who he really is and not what you feel he should be. There are many people today that are serving the God they think. The God they imagine, what they imagine God is supposed to be. Not the truth of who God is by this Bible. And so when they hit disappointment, And when they hit some rough patches in life, they can't stand. Because they don't have a clear picture of who God really is. So you have to eliminate sentiments for your Christian life. The third thing, which is the final thing before we close for today. Let's keep reading verse 61. It says, and another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my what? In my house. And 62 said, but Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom. This third thing is talking about familiarity. It says, let me first go and what? Bid farewell to those in my house. Those in my house are his family, right? The people he's familiar with. And the truth is that if we get too familiar with God, we will not be able to receive from him. Some people, church has become a routine to them. I hope that doesn't happen here to anybody. But there are some people, they just wake up on Sunday and go to church because I'm used to it. What has happened over time is that Christianity has bred a generation of Christians who do it out of habits, but have no concept of what the relationship with God is. When you go out on evangelism, you hear a lot of interesting things. You hear people say, hey, I'm a Christian. How do you know? Oh, I go to church. Oh, since I was born, I've been going to church. Some people will say, I can't just sit at home on a Sunday. I have to go to church. And they think it's a positive thing. It's not a positive thing. If there's no relationship, if you're just going because it's what I've always done, then you have entered religious familiarity. And the truth is, for us to walk with God, God would always take us to unfamiliar territory. And so when this man said, oh, I want to go back home to say bye-bye to my family, Jesus did not even answer him directly. Jesus answered him with a parable. He says, no man who puts his hand on the plow and looks back is what? Is fit for the kingdom. What he's telling him is, when you make a decision for me, you don't have the luxury of saying you are going to go back. Because once you start moving with God, God starts to move you through unfamiliar waters. You have to really, really learn to trust him. Trust him as you continue going with him. Trust him. When it looks high, give him thanks. When it looks like things are down, also what? Give him thanks. Because life will not just be one flat line, right? A flat line medically is someone is what? It's dead. Right? And life is not a flat line. Life goes up and it comes down. Goes up and it comes down. And as you keep going through the storms and the different shades and phases of life, what happens is that God is teaching you to really get to know him as a God that you cannot predict. That thing that you think is very big, God can change it in the blink of what? Blink of an eye. There are some things that we believe God for so long. We're believing Him. And you might be waiting to God for something for about 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. And the time He finally does it, the whole thing happens in 1 week. In 1 week, before you know it, everything is sorted. And you get that thing. And you are wondering. Because some people will tell you it's a process. Right? God is a God of process, but not in that way. When God wants to move, he just what? Just moves. And no human being can stand in his way. The Bible says that when he turned around the captivity of what? Of Zion. They were like men that was that dreamed. What that means is, it happened so quickly that they kept asking themselves, is this us? Can this thing really be true? But you see, we don't get that when we get too familiar with Jesus. We don't get that when we say, okay, this is the limit. All the things that God can do is in the corner of this church. If we're inside this church, he can do it. Once we step outside, our God's power is finished. If you do that, you will not be able to receive from God. God will always take you away from the familiar. He would always want you to leave the familiar. Even here, when we're moving too far in a certain direction and it has become routine, God will do something to sort of shake us a bit as a church. He has to. I mean, I always know when he's doing it. The reason why he has to is because don't limit me. Yeah? Don't put a stop on what I can do. I can do anything. He has to constantly remind human beings that he can do anything. And so we don't have the luxury of going back to what we know. I'm saying this now in the religious context, right? I'm saying this rather in the Christian context. There's a going back that is even worse than what I'm speaking about. And that is those people that choose to go back to their Egypt because their Egypt is familiar to them. Do you know what it means to return to your Egypt? Your place of bondage and suffering. You know, when they got to the Red Sea, what did they say to Moses? You should have left us where? In Egypt. At that point, they had forgotten. Small challenge, Joe. They had forgotten that what? They beat them, tortured them. They said at least they were giving us food. And do you know these people? They said this thing not once. They said it almost throughout their time in the wilderness. That's why they had to perish there. Because their wahala was too much. And we were like that too sometimes with God. Never grateful. We always want to go back to what we know. Say at least. You know, there are times of waiting in our lives. And we just have to endure. You see someone, the person was working a job and the person was slaving away. And they were paying the person peanuts. 2,000, 3,000, 4,000. You know, you cannot even cover your transport. I'm saying this because it has happened to some people. And for a while, the Spirit of God says, okay, quit. Come and serve me. Just come and worship me. It doesn't make sense to other human beings, right? He's taking you through a wilderness. I know when things get tough for that person says, at least let me even go back to that job. At least they were paying me something. You forget. You forget that thing that they were paying you then. You were still borrowing money from different people before you could make ends meet. The devil will make you forget all the bad things about your Egypt. That's what he will do. And he will bring that feeling of what? Familiarity. I'm going to conclude with this. One of the reasons why the church has lost its power is because of this familiarity thing. The body of Christ. You see, what we do is that we find something that works once. And then we'll not turn that thing to God. I don't know how to explain what I'm saying. So for example, this today's service now. You see that we changed the pattern of the service. This is how bad religion is, or religious spirit. You know, normally in service, what do? Praise and worship is the last thing that happens before the word, right? Today, we did it first. Why? Because that's how I was led to set service for today. And as service was progressing, I saw that, okay, Lord, this is why. You wanted to move in this way. But you know, some people, now that it has happened like this today, all our services will be like this. That's religious spirit. That's just an example. But that's how we do in church. Once something clicks, we just say, okay, this is the only thing that God can do. And we just put him in that box. And we turn that practice to our God. You know, some people have turned fasting and prayer to their God. There's nothing wrong in fasting. But you know, let's say they fasted for 3 days and they now got results. The next thing they want, they declare 10 days fasting. 30 days fasting. Is it wrong to fast? No. But it is wrong to turn fasting to Jesus. Right? And that's what we do. And we do that because we don't want to walk with God in faith. Man is always looking for something that they can hold on to. Which is why the foolish churches, unfortunately, are the churches that they will say, oh, bring candle, bring handkerchief. We are selling a special. If they start selling it, we can never do it here. But if they say they are selling a special anointing oil that is 30,000, some people prefer to spend 100,000, 150,000. On something tangible that they can call God, than to trust this God that they cannot see and still know that he's for them. Because that's what we do as people. And it's still idolatry that is worrying us. Because we're looking for a God that we can touch and taste and feel. We're not the first people to have that problem. Isn't it not Moses that climbed mountain? Before he came down, they've already made calf.
Right? But that's what familiarity does. Familiarity turns us to idolaters. And you can make an idol of anything. And so we must learn to not look back when we're walking with God. Just follow Him. No matter how His ebbs and flows, keep what? Keep following Him. Because it's Him you are trusting. If He does it this way once, He can do it another way tomorrow. And if He does it another way tomorrow, He can do it another way next tomorrow. And that's how He keeps going. He's new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. Don't limit Him. Don't get too familiar with Him. And when you can take God at that, you will truly be grateful to Him. When it's time for you to thank God, you know that, oh my, it's only God that can do this thing. But when we get familiar, it's difficult for us to thank God because we feel like we know God. You know, the Bible says, people usually say familiarity breeds contempt, right? And it's the same thing with God. If you are too familiar with God, you think you know Him. When they say thank God, when they say give Him praise, it won't come from your heart because you feel like, Shebi is God. I know how He moves. You don't know Him. Huh? You don't what? No. None of us really does. We'll never really truly know Him till we are with Him. John said it. He said, we don't know what we will be, but when we are with Him, when we meet Him, we'll see Him as He is. So everything that we are seeing now is limited because this our mind is limited. We can never fully know this God. So don't limit Him. Don't get too familiar with Him. And if you can kick out security of things in this world, sentimentality of things in this world, and too much familiarity with God, you can kick it out of your life. It'll be easy for you to thank God. It'll be easy for you to worship Him. As we're about to do this morning, let's rise up. Before we get into testimonies for today and end today's service, I want you to open your mouth and I want you to begin to bless God. Give Him glory, give Him honor, give Him praise. And say, Lord, give me a heart of thanksgiving, O Lord. I don't want my thanksgiving to end in today's service. I don't want my thanksgiving to end in today's service. I don't want it to end in today's service, Lord. I want to thank You always. Thank You always. Lord, in all the ways that I've been too familiar with You, that I've been limiting Your power, that I've been limiting Your presence in my life, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord Jesus. Help me to thank You indeed and in truth. Give me a heart that is grateful unto You, that is truly grateful, Lord. That truly grateful, that truly loves You. For it's in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Our Father and our God, we give You thanks, we give You worship. We magnify Your holy name. We thank You for today's service, Lord. Thank You for all that You've said to us. We say, may Your name be praised in Jesus' name. Our Father, we pray as we continue, You continue with us. For it's in Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this message. The Simple Gospel Church is a church arm of World Impact Ministries, dedicated to taking the gospel all over the world.